Okay, let's go to our scripture reading here today. And today we're going to resume back to the book of James. And I'm going to go to chapter 2. And actually this morning we're going to finish chapter 2. And I am going to read verses 20 through 26 in the book of James. Let me get my stuff organized here. James chapter 2. Verses 20 through 26, I will have those words up here on the screen. And if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. These are the words of James, who is the half-brother of Jesus, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write, starting at verse number 20. But you are willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Let's pray. Father, I ask for your help this morning because this is an extremely difficult passage to interpret correctly. And Father, I want to get this right. So I ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing to you, and it will be the truth that we all need to hear here this morning. I just trust you in this, Lord, and I ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, today we do continue in our expository study in the book of James, and this is week number 15. And I have titled today's message, "Faith Was Perfected." Those are the exact words that James uses in chapter 2, verse number 22. As all of you know, I was born and raised in the Catholic faith tradition. I left the Catholic Church when I was 22 years old, and I began attending a Protestant church 11 years later, when I was 33 years old. I consider those 11 years my pagan years. I got saved at a work Bible study when I was 40. Yes, I have issues with Roman Catholic theology, and rightfully so. They teach a false gospel, and a false gospel never saved anyone. Had I continued in the Roman Catholic tradition and theology that I was taught, I would be on my way to eternal damnation. In Beech Grove, I believe that is a very serious cause for me to be concerned. I preach and I teach what is called Reformed theology. It's the theology that was established by the Reformers back in the 16th century. The Reformers developed five solas. Sola means alone. How does a person get saved? Back in the 16th century, the gospel was defined as it should rightfully be defined, as it was defined early on in the church years. How does a person get saved? Sola fide, through faith alone. Sola gratia, by grace alone. Sola Christus, in Christ alone. Sola Scriptura, by the Scriptures alone. And number five, sola Deo gloria, for the glory of God alone. The cry of the reformers back in the 1500s caused such a huge counterattack by the established Roman Catholic Church. So at the Council of Trent in the years 1548 to 1563, the Roman Catholic Church developed doctrines concerning salvation counter to what the reformers were preaching and teaching at that time. And these counter doctrines that they developed 500 plus years ago still exist today. I have spoken at length about Roman Catholic theology in here, but in case you may be interested in knowing more about what I need to say today, because I'm not going to say it all today, you can look up these messages that I said earlier in my tenure here. September 22nd, I preached on Sola Fide. On March 15th and March 22nd, part of a seven-part series on Roman Catholicism that I preached here. And quite honestly, people, I'm getting tired of talking about it, but because James is talking about it today, I must talk about it today also. Everything that I say in these three messages and others about Roman Catholicism are exactly as Roman Catholicism teaches it. They are not my words, nor are they my opinions that I express. They are their words and their doctrines from Roman Catholic websites and Roman Catholic publications. The Reformed Protestant, which what I would consider myself and probably all of us, believes sola scriptura, by the Scriptures alone. So let's look at the Scriptures alone and see what the Scriptures alone teach us about salvation. You know the first verse I'm going to put up here. It's been up here just about every week. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Sola fide, sola gratia. Romans 3, 27 and 28. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. Sola fide. And Galatians 2, 16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. This was the cry of the reformers over 500 years ago. Now, I like charts. I'm going to put a little chart up here. Actually, it's a little timeline. I'm going to put this timeline up here. It's actually rather simple. For the Christian, this is the biblical salvation timeline. Down here on the one side, we see where a person is born. Let's get out my little pointer here. A person is born. Here's their timeline. And they die. So what happens? At one moment of justification, this is the moment you or I got saved, whenever that was. You might have been 8 years old, you might have been 80 years old, but at some point in time, there was a moment of justification. You say, I got saved, I trust in Christ as my Lord and Savior. How did that happen? You heard the truth of the gospel. You now know the gospel, you believe the gospel, you trust in that gospel. You have faith in Christ alone. You were saved. I was saved. We all got saved the same way. What happens after that? After that comes the sanctification process. We become more Christ-like. And what are one of those things that happens to the true Christian after they get saved? They have good works proving our faith. Do we have faith? Yes, well, prove it by your good works, and that will happen. We talked about that last week. Roman Catholic theology, on the other hand, teaches that a person, let me put that chart up here, teaches that a person must contribute works along with their faith in Christ Jesus to be justified, to be saved. The works of Jesus Christ on the cross is not sufficient to save a person. Our works must cooperate with our faith in an ongoing process of justification. This is what they call that. And a person who believes and trusts in Roman Catholic theology can never have assurance of his or her salvation because they never know if they are saved, because it is a process. What do they do? Well, they have truth of the gospel, and they know and believe and they trust the gospel. Yes, yes, good so far. Do they have faith in Christ? Yes, good so far. But they must contribute good works to the work that Christ has already done, and it is a process. Again, if you go back and listen to those messages, you'll hear a little bit more about that, and I feel like a sixth grade teacher holding that thing. So I'm going to put that down. To some, this might seem, well, what's the difference, Mike? What's the difference? Well, the truth is, it's a matter of eternal life or eternal death. That's a pretty big difference. Teaching that works is a necessity for salvation, to earn salvation, keyword, to earn salvation, is a false gospel. And the Apostle Paul pronounces an anathema on anyone who preaches a false gospel, therefore those who believe that false gospel. And yes, this is a serious issue, and I hope you can see my concern for this truth. Now, the question now becomes, where does Roman Catholic theology come up with the belief that works is necessary, a necessary contribution for salvation? Answer, they poorly, extremely poorly interpret James chapter 2, verses 18 through 26. Roman Catholic theology places works as a necessity to earn salvation, and these works must cooperate with one's faith in Christ. It's a pretty complex system. So if you want to know more about it, you can go back and listen to the sermons. Let me give you a story time with Pastor Mike, a quick one. It was 2001 and my mother was in the hospital, and we knew that her time of leaving this earth was getting close. She was going to pass away. I was walking out of the hospital that she was in, and as I was walking out, this clergyman was walking up. He was dressed all in black and he had the white collar on. And I thought, I wonder if that is a priest. It could be an Episcopalian priest. They dress pretty similar. So I stopped him and I said, sir, could I ask you a question? And he said, yes. And I said, are you a Catholic priest? And he said, yes, I am. So I immediately put my dunce cap on, which is real easy for me to do. And I said, well, sir, could I ask you a question? He said, yes. I said, my mother is in there and she's dying. And I don't know how long she's got to live. But it made me think that one day I'm going to die too. What do I need to do to get to heaven? And his answer was this. Do you go to church? No, sir, I don't. Okay, that was a lie. This was, again, 2001. He said, well, you need to go to church. You need to get yourself into a Catholic church. You need to be baptized in the church. And you need to start receiving the sacraments. And you need to start doing the communion and making your Easter duty. And above all, if you could pray the rosary. Works. Had I followed this man's advice, as many people are following this man's advice, I'm on a one-way ticket, folks, to hell. That is not the gospel. Works are not part of the gospel. And I hope you can understand my frustration. So let's look at the text and see what James is saying and how Roman Catholic theology misinterprets James chapter 2. Let's look at James chapter 2, verse 21 first. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Well, hey, at first glance, it looks like maybe Roman Catholic doctrine does have this thing right. It does say that Abraham, our father, was justified by works. Mike, how much more plain can it be? Let's take a closer look at the word justified and define it correctly. I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but I do know how to look stuff up. The word justify that is used in James is the word dikaio, which is the Greek word. It has two meanings in Greek as it has two meanings in English. To judge, regard, or treat as righteous and worthy of salvation. We use that definition quite often. We are justified before the Lord, made right. Number two, to prove or show to be just, right, or reasonable. It has a dual meaning, and we need to make sure we don't leave out that second meaning. So let's look at another verse from Luke chapter 7, verse 35. And first, let's look at it in the New King James Version. The verse is very simple. Jesus says this, but wisdom is justified by all her children. Now, that cannot possibly mean that wisdom is saved, has a salvation experience, is now right with the Father by all her children. That doesn't make sense. You got to use the second definition for that, and the NIV translation does. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. This is so key to use the correct definition because we want to interpret this passage correctly. Now, let's get back to James 2:21 and let's do a little bit of substitution. Was not Abraham our father justified? Was not Abraham our father proven right by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Doesn't this make a whole lot more sense? Because it's consistent with James's teaching on the fact that works are the evidence, last week's message, the evidence of our faith. And if we add verses 22 and 23, it says that our faith, Abraham's faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And Abraham believed God. There's the text right there. James is quoting Genesis 15:6. And Abraham's belief in God was what saved him. We could just stop right there. Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He was saved. Okay, Abraham, you're saved. Now prove it. Prove it. How did he prove it? He was tested. Let me ask everyone a question in here. You don't have to raise your hand. Aren't we tested in our faith all the time? Out there in this world, we are tested with our faith. Is our faith genuine or not? Abraham, you're being tested. You said that you were made right with God. Well, prove it. And what did Abraham do? He took his son up on Mount Moriah and was going to sacrifice him. But we know that story from Genesis 22. And he was told to stop. James 2:25. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? James is given another Old Testament example of how Rahab showed evidence of her professing faith by doing what she did. It's all about the evidence of a professed faith. James 2:24, the verse in between. It gets starting to get a little sticky here. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Well, let's use the right definition of justified. You see that a man is justified, is proven right by works and not by faith alone. I said this till I was blue in the face last week. Many people can claim, I have faith in Jesus Christ. Well, prove it is all James is saying in these verses. If this verse right here, is incorrectly interpreted, one of three things are going to happen, and maybe all three. One, first of all, it's taken out of context. Let's read the whole context of the passage. Number two, an incorrect definition of the word justified is being used. and or three if we do not compare this verse with other verses in Scripture. We know this. Scripture interprets what? Scripture! Scripture interprets Scripture. Just don't take one verse and have a standalone. Let's look at the entire Scripture and see what it says. If works were necessary for salvation, then the Apostle Paul would have taught that in all his letters. But he didn't. He didn't teach that. And it is incorrectly interpreted by some religious systems. And an entire religious system called Roman Catholicism has used James chapter 2, verses 18 through 26 to add works as a necessary contribution for salvation. Again, if you want to know more about Roman Catholic theology, I have many messages up on the website. Go and check them out and listen to those. The people in the churches, the people in the churches in the area of Galatia were being taught, according to the book of Galatians, were being taught by the Judaizers that they must add works to their faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. I talked at length about that when we talked about Galatians. So how does the Apostle Paul respond to that heresy? He says this, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed. Beach Grove, there's only one true gospel, and it's a really, really simple gospel. Christ has done all the work. And the difference between believing that I must contribute works to my salvation versus believing in Christ alone for my salvation, folks, according to Paul, is the difference between eternal damnation and eternal security and blessedness. That's a pretty big difference. So let me just throw this out there. I consider this a serious issue, and I hope you do too. I hope you do too. There are 1.6 professing Roman Catholics around the world today. And if they believe what Roman Catholic theology is teaching, they are on their way to hell just as I was. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 again. I have a different line underlined this time. It is a gift of God. What is a gift of God? The faith is a gift of God. The grace is a gift of God. And a gift isn't something that we, what? Earn. Thank you. We don't earn gifts. Gift is something that I receive for no reason at all. A gift is something that is freely given without me having to give something in return. It is a gift. And so Paul reinforces this. He says this in Romans 11, 6. It's on the front of your bulletin. But if it is by grace, which it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace, because grace wouldn't be grace because I'd have to work for it. But it's a gift. Gee, if we had to work for it, then it is no longer grace. And if a gift is something that I have to earn, then it is no longer a gift. But it is a gift. This is interesting. Do all Roman Catholics believe Roman Catholic theology? No, they do not. Do all Protestants believe Protestant theology? No, they do not. According to a poll conducted by Pew Research on August 31st, 2017, that's been almost 5 years ago, here's the stats, 52% of professing Protestants believe you must contribute works towards your salvation. 52%. That means one out of every two believe Let me put it in different words. They believe a false gospel is what they believe. 91% of Roman Catholics surveyed believe that you must add good works to your faith in Christ to earn salvation. And that's kind of what I expected. Excuse me, not 91%, 81%. Hey, that's good news. 19% don't believe you need to add good works. Maybe they got faith in Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, and faith in Him alone. That would be great. You are what you believe, and that is the only thing, folks, we're going to take to our grave with us. If you believe that Jesus Christ has done it all for your salvation, the gift is eternal life. If you believe that for your salvation, you must contribute to what Jesus Christ has already done by your good works and merit, then you believe a false gospel. And according to the word of God in Galatians, gee, what happened there? Oh, I hit the wrong button. Oh boy. Okay, let's move on. Then according to, I'll get there, who cares? If you believe that you must add good works to what Christ has already done, then according to Galatians, you believe a false gospel. And Paul says you are eternally accursed, eternally condemned. And I'm not supposed to get upset about this? If I am wrong on this topic, then my two favorite pastors, John MacArthur and R.C. Sproul and others, they're wrong too because I learned from them. And if MacArthur and R.C. Sproul are wrong, then Martin Luther is wrong because they learned from him. And if Martin Luther is wrong, then the Apostle Paul was wrong too because Luther got all his information from the letters to Galatians, Ephesians, and Romans. And shame on that Apostle Paul for teaching the wrong thing. Well, concerning the topic of salvation, I would rather be narrow, very narrow, and judgmental, but right, than to be wide and forgiving and be wrong. But I am interested in my eternity. Let me get to the slide. Got to put it back up here again. Come on. I am betting my eternity on this. Because this is what the gospel is. The five solas, the cry of the reformers. And this is the true path of salvation. Works are the evidence of our salvation. It's really that simple. Not any way to earn our salvation. Jesus says this, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free.